Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
This past fall, Peoria Christian Middle School adopted our Bibles for Uganda mission project for 2020. Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois is putting together not only a CEF mission team to go to Uganda later on this year in the fall, called 2020 Vision, but also in addition to doing ministry in Uganda, we're planning on doing Bible distribution throughout the country of Uganda. Just this past week in January, we received some amazing news. The Peoria Christian Middle School in Peoria, Illinois, they raised enough funds in 1 week to cover the cost of at least over 1,000 Bibles towards our 5,000 Bibles goal. We appreciate so much the outpouring of God's people, and especially of these students who gave so willingly and wholeheartedly to see that the Bible, God's Word, would be in the hands of those in Uganda who have no Bible of their own. The Bible and Christian history in Uganda go hand in hand. It was actually the search of the source of the Nile in the mid to late 1800s that brought the source of the gospel to Uganda through the distribution and the teaching of God's Word. In 1862, John Hanning Speke, the first English explorer in the search of the Nile, gave a Bible to one of the tribes of the Baganda Kingdom, which is the largest tribe within the country of Uganda today. Speke would be the first European to later discover a large body of water that he named Lake Victoria, in honor of the Queen of England that borders three countries in East and Central Africa, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. It was Lake Victoria that would soon become the site of much European exploration within Uganda because it was suspected to be the source of the Great Nile. There was another famous explorer who, like Speke, suspected also that Lake Victoria to be the source of the Nile, and it was none other than the famous missionary doctor and explorer extraordinaire, Dr. David Livingstone. Livingstone's motive for finding the source of the Nile was not for fame or fortune or front page news for the National Geographic Society. Neither was Livingstone's motive to open a water source for highway of trade, but rather Livingstone's deepest desire was to enter into Uganda and open up large sections of Africa, even to the depths of the dark Africa interior itself, through the light of the gospel and by God's word going forth. But in God's providence, it would not be Livingstone, but Henry Stanley, through whom God would use to bring the light of the gospel and God's word to Uganda people. Stanley first met Livingstone in Ujiji in Tanzania after months of searching, when everyone else presumed Livingstone to be either lost or dead in Africa. Stanley respectfully approached, tipped his hat, and said to the aged missionary doctor those infamous words, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." For months, Stanley and Livingstone trekked through the African terrain together, searching for the source of the Nile. With every step, Livingstone instilled within Henry Stanley his secret mission and his dream, the opening of the continent of Africa for the Word of God and the message of Christ. Livingstone, though, never did find the source of the Nile, and he died thinking he had failed his God-given mission. But he did not. Stanley, Livingstone's spiritual son, he later found the source of the Nile that flowed out of Jinja in Uganda from Lake Victoria, that eventually joined the Blue Nile and the White Nile tributaries together that became the Great Nile River. But more than great waters, Henry Stanley found the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Livingstone's faithful life and gospel witness. When Livingstone passed, it would be Stanley who took up Livingstone's mantle and Livingstone's greatest mission to see Africa open wide for the proclamation of the gospel and God's word. And that is why in 1875, with the backing and the permission of the Baganda King, King Mutesa I, Henry Stanley sent a telegram to the Queen of England asking for 100 missionaries to be sent to Uganda. He telegraphed, "In 1 year, you will have more converts to Christ than all the missions united together can muster." But Stanley was not just content to send a telegram to the Queen or to the Church Mission Society. He also began teaching the Bible to the Baganda people himself, beginning with the king and his royal household. When Stanley left Uganda, he even left behind his former slave, who was an educated and committed Christian, to be the king's interpreter, and also so that he could continue through his servant to teach the king, the Baganda tribe, the word of God. In 1877, 2 years later, the first missionaries then arrived from England and picked up where Stanley and his servant had left off in Uganda. The missionaries focused on teaching the Bible to children and young people within King Mutesa's large family and royal court. Many young people soon made professions of faith in Christ, including the chief sons that were called pages, who then reached out to other young people and shared with them what they had learned from God's word and the message of the gospel. But with the death of King Mutesa, everything changed. In 1884, his now reigning son, King Mwanga, not only rejected the faith of his father, rejected Christianity, but became a professing Muslim who wanted to reinstate the Arab slave trade and stamp out the name of Christ and Christ followers out of his Buganda kingdom. Persecution then broke out everywhere. An English church bishop was killed along with 50 of his porters who were making their way into the Buganda kingdom from the east coast. But King Mwanga's opposition to the gospel and Christianity only intensified. On June 3rd, 1886, a fire was lit in the land of Uganda that has never gone out to this day. In a rage of absolute fury, King Mwanga ordered the death of the royal pages, the chief sons, who refused to renounce their faith in Christ. These young men told the king that they would not worship the spirit gods of their ancestors, and neither would they participate in immoral practices that were demanded by Mwanga. The chief executioner and his warriors then seized 31 of these African Christians and force-marched them to the place of execution, bound them and wrapped them in reeds, and burnt them alive. They were the first Ugandan Christian martyrs. These 31 young men died with the name of Kuntunda on their lips as they sang praises to the Creator God and prayed unceasingly as they rested their faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, even as the flames rose higher and higher. But Mwanga was not finished. Another 200 African Christians were put to death during his reign. But the onlookers in his kingdom who observed the onslaught of these first believers, they were amazed at their peace and their confidence in Christ, even as they faced unspeakable torture and death. Instead of the name of Christ being stamped out, the name of Christ was stamped deeper. And through the flames of martyrdom, the name of Christ was only lifted higher. As one church father and historian has said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. For God's word says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Then in 1894, after Uganda became a British territory protectorate, even more missionaries streamed into Uganda to bring God's word and the message of Christ to the people. These missionaries intentionally focused on the Christian education of the youth by establishing missionary schools throughout the country, but also to teach these young people God's word and their need for faith and trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. By the beginning of the 20th century, 40% of the people in Uganda professed Christianity, and Uganda became the first country in all of Africa to declare itself to be a Christian nation. The Uganda government even passed a law requiring the Bible to be taught in all the schools and every grade so that every child would know God's word and the message of God's grace alone in Christ Jesus. In the 1930s and 40s, the revival again continued and swept the land, beginning in Rwanda and then spreading throughout East and Central Africa, including Uganda. Looking back in history, it seems that God in His sovereignty was using this time of Spirit-led revival and deepening faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ to prepare His people in Uganda for what lay ahead. In the 1970s, persecution again broke out in Uganda when Idi Amin, known as the Black Hitler of Africa, seized power. Idi Amin, a professing Muslim, wanted to flip the country to a Muslim state and began to voraciously persecute both Jews and Christians alike. He even targeted high archbishops and pastors in the Protestant Anglican Church, including the bishop and well-known evangelist Festo Kivenjeri, who had to flee for his life across the Rwanda-Ugandan border. History records that almost 500,000 Ugandans lost their life during Idi Amin's reign of terror. Instead of Christianity becoming weakened, it only grew and deepened again from now 50% of the people to now over 70% of the population of Uganda proclaiming faith in Christ through Christianity. Upon Bishop Kivenjeri's return back to Uganda, he said this, "Let there be no hate. No revenge. Let us rebuild our country on God's word and the love of God in Christ Jesus." Uganda today is one of the most Christian nations in all of Africa. However, as one observer has said, Christianity in Africa may be a mile wide, but is only an inch deep. Without question, there is a need in Uganda for deepening teaching of the Christian faith and the gospel message that is rooted and grounded on God's Word. In 1988, I first had an opportunity to go to East Central Africa, and then again in 1989. I saw firsthand the wide-open doors to be in the schools proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching God's Word to the children and youth. Then in 2003, my co-worker and myself were invited to go to Uganda and train others to teach God's Word to the children through the Ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship that was already established in the country. Through the years, I have watched God continue to grow the ministry of CF in Uganda from just a handful of workers to now 33 workers that have a passion and a deep desire to reach and teach the children in their land for Christ. These CEF Uganda missionaries and hundreds of trained volunteers have now reached over 1 million children annually with the gospel. Right now in Uganda, there is an unprecedented access to the schools in all the grades to teach children and students God's Word and the salvation message of Christ. Can you imagine walking into the schools of Uganda with a classroom full or even a whole school assembly with 100, 300, or 500 more children and proclaim, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures? Or other verses like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This past summer, I had the opportunity again to go back to Uganda, and I saw the same wide open doors in the schools and the ripe harvest fields throughout the country, and hunger, deep hunger for the teaching of God's Word in both children and adults alike. But then I heard, when I was there, a statistic that broke my heart. 70% of the Christians in Uganda do not have a Bible of their own, including not only the children, but also even the adults. Recently, we also heard of another 11-year-old girl who was a Sunday school teacher that was teaching younger children than herself, and she was doing a great job, and she was telling these younger children the stories of the Bible that she had heard all of her lives, but she had no Bible of her own, and she was a Sunday school teacher. And then we found out in that one church of the 6 Sunday school teachers that only 1 out of 6 teachers had a Bible of their own. But not only do adults and Sunday school teachers and children's workers need a Bible, also the children, the students in schools who are able to read. In 1988, I was so excited to learn about the required Bible teaching in the schools for all the grades. The Bible was front and center in the Christian education of their young people. However, I have been sad to learn of a shift that's happened in their required curriculum that has occurred over the past 2 decades. Instead of the Bible and Christianity being taught exclusively in all the classrooms and all the schools, the religious education curriculum now includes a whole spectrum of faiths, almost like a religious smorgasbord, stating what Jews believe, Muslims believe, and Christians believe, like a comparative religious study. But even more, the Bible and Christianity are taught more as a history book or just a book of stories. When you combine the lack of availability of God's Word and the lack of deepened biblical redemptive teaching of faith in Christ and the mixed messages of religions, the need to walk through these open doors in the schools of Uganda and East and Central Africa becomes clear. The people of Uganda, and in particular the children, the students of Uganda, they need God's Word and the message of Christ proclaimed to them and taught to them clearly. Not someday later, but this day now, for now is the day of salvation. We appreciate your prayers as we are right now awaiting our final approval and then begin preparing for our upcoming mission trip back to Uganda this fall. But in addition to taking 10 to 12 team members from CEF of Illinois to Uganda to do school ministry, camp ministry, and teacher training, we are also seeking to do Bible distribution as much as we can. If the Lord wills, we want to ship 5,000 Bibles into Uganda so we can ground the children and children's worker in Uganda with God's Word and the message of salvation in Christ for future generations. I know that 5,000 Bibles may seem like a drop in the bucket, but let us not underestimate the power of God's Word. Just as the message of Christ came to Uganda by God's word given by others and then taught by others to the Ugandan people by the missionaries long ago, so we have the open opportunity and the mission to take God's word to the nations and to the future generations. I want to publicly thank Peoria Christian Middle School for launching our Bibles for Uganda mission project and getting us off to a great start with the first 1,000 Bibles. Now we look to the Lord through His people to take us from here to there so that we can continue to walk in the paths and the vision of David Livingstone and Henry Stanley and others to send God's word and proclaim God's word to Africa and to the nations. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.